Well, here we are again. Just you and me sitting here. All right, look, here's the deal. The past week, have not, I said on this show, and just tell me to shut up when you've had enough of me, okay? I haven't had any bread, no pasta for an entire week. No milk, no dairy other than some cheese here and there. It wasn't that difficult to do, and I do feel healthier, and I have less gas. So I went on a journey to lose weight and feel better. I did lose some weight. I lost about 5 pounds over the course of about 2 weeks, but I haven't had any gluten. I don't know what the hell I haven't had. I don't know what gluten is. I kind of do. I could give you an explanation as to what gluten actually is, but I don't want to bore you any more than I already am for about 45 seconds now. I'm gluten-free. I'm gluten-free. I have no gluten in me. I didn't know when I did, but now I don't. So I feel better. However, I can't go on like this forever. I can't. Here's some stuff that's been successful for me, and see if this helps you out. And if you don't care, then just hear me through. I don't know what gluten is. I don't know if it can kill you. I've eaten gluten all my life. Everybody I know has eaten gluten. We didn't even know what gluten was. If you wrote gluten on a piece of paper, I would say, why'd you write something on a piece of paper? I have no idea what you just said. I just do feel better without eating this gluten, whatever it is. I think it's a wheat thing, and apparently it affects the digestive system for some people in a negative way, but it could be healthy for everybody not to eat this gluten stuff. But I love pasta. I went to the supermarket, went down the pasta aisle, and all of a sudden there's all these brands with gluten-free pasta. And I thought, thank you. How did you hear me? How did you know I love pasta, but I don't want to eat gluten anymore, and I don't even know why? There's a brand called, I'm sorry for yelling, by the way. There's a brand called Barilla, and it's been around forever, and it's Italian, I guess. I have no idea. They make a gluten-free pasta. It's made with cornmeal and something else, but no wheat flour. So I get this home, I boil it up, and I'm expecting that this stuff is going to suck, that it's going to be like eating cardboard. And I've eaten cardboard before. And it's not very tasty. So I boil up these gluten-free, it was penne. A penne, penne! Could you have change for a dime? Can I have pennies? So I'm boiling up this penne for about 10 minutes. And then I put one in my mouth, which is really what you should be doing to test food. And it's lovely. It's actually really good. It's not falling apart. It tastes just like pasta, but tastes like good pasta. And I thought, oh my God. Oh my God, this is good. Now I favor this gluten-free pasta over regular pasta because it tastes even better. So I solved my pasta problem. So now I can have a little pasta here and there, and it's gluten-free, and I'm feeling fantastic. Bread. I love bread. Who doesn't love bread? Oh, my God. Oprah and I just love bread. And Gail, of course. We love bread. What am I to do? I go to the supermarket again, where they seem to be solving my problems for now. And I'm looking in the bread section. I'm not seeing a lot of gluten-free fresh bread. It's not happening. I'm going, oh, my God, I've hit a roadblock here on the gluten. Then I think to myself, maybe I'll go down to the frozen food aisle and see if there's like frozen bread. Sometimes they have frozen dough. And I'm going through the frozen food cases, and I come across a section where they actually do have gluten-free bread, but it's frozen. The package is frozen. And I thought, I don't like frozen bread. By the time it gets soggy, I don't know. There's a brand called Udi's. I think that's how you pronounce it. UDI'S. And it's expensive. It's like $4 for about a half of what a regular package of bread would look like. So I buy the thing, I bring it home, but I don't put it in the freezer, I put it in the refrigerator, and the next day it's defrosted, and it's just, you know, regular bread, and gluten-free bread in a little package. So I take out a slice. I put it in the toaster oven, and I figure it's going to fall apart. It's not real flour. It's not real bread. It's made from, I don't know, worm feces. I have no idea what it's made from. I toast it up. I put a little bit of butter on it. It's not falling apart. I'm going, wait a minute. My experience in the past with non-real bread was it was just fall apart. This isn't falling apart. And again, I put a piece of it in my mouth, which is how you test food. It tastes like pound cake. It tastes like Drake's pound cake, but it's not. It's just bread. A little higher sugar content than regular bread, but not too bad. It's not a gigantic slice either. It's a, you know, it's kind of a little slice, but it's a slice of bread. I fell in love with it. I wanted to marry it. It tastes like pound cake. Whoa, I love pound cake. I have solved my bread problem and my pasta problem. Now I'm on the road to possibilities. I've been eating like this for a week. I don't crave bread. I don't crave pasta, but it's there if I want it. Once a week, I will splurge and have a little bit of non-gluten stuff, but otherwise, it hasn't been tough. Now, it's been a week, and I don't know if I'm going to continue with this, but I have proven to myself that I do feel better. I feel less gassy and glassy. I'm not bloated anymore, which was a big problem for me. If gluten's not a problem for you, fine, wonderful. It's not a problem for me either. I don't have a gluten-free allergy thing going on. I really don't. I've been tested for it. I've been tested for everything. My urine's been tested so many times, it's not funny. It isn't funny. So on today's show, I thought I would bring on an expert to talk about this gluten thing, claiming that it is just healthier not to eat gluten. I know you've been eating gluten all your life. I know you feel fine. That's not the point. That's not the point. Let me say, before we talk to this person who has the gluten thing, let me first say, I'm not endorsing any products. A product will be mentioned. I'm not endorsing it. I have tried it. They did send me a sample of this product that they'll be talking about in this interview. We taped this interview a few days ago, which prompted me to actually get heavy into this gluten thing. So there is a product, but I'm not endorsing it. You do what you want. I'm not trying to sell this to you. I just find it interesting. And if I can feel better every day in my body, maybe the same will go for you. If you get a little gassy when you eat food and, you know, a little bit of the gas thing and the bloating thing, you might want to listen to this. You might want to listen to this anyway. I don't believe I started the show. I think I just started talking. So here you go.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program, as I said at the beginning. That's me breathing. That's me breathing in the morning. When I get up in the morning, that's how I breathe. It's how I sleep, too, I think. I'm not sure. People tell me that I snore. I don't know how these people got into my bedroom, but they did. It's almost like if I'm sleeping and there's a burglar comes into the house, breaks into my house, and I'm sleeping and comes into my bedroom, the burglar will wake me up and say, I'm robbing you, I'm taking all your stuff. By the way, you snore. Anyway, yeah. Which I guess isn't good. About 10 years ago, my doctor said, well, Ron, if you've been told by burglars that you snore, then maybe you should go for a sleep disorder test. I said, sleep disorder test? You tested my urine, you're testing my blood, now you're testing my sleep? Stop testing me. Stop testing me out. I said, no, really, Ron, you go to a sleep lab, a place in the middle of the night, and you sleep there, and they monitor your sleeping, and they can tell if, you know, maybe you might need a pap smear machine, or what do you call those things? Not pap smear machine, it's a CPAP or whatever. A little machine that forces air into your nose. What a comfortable way of sleeping, wearing an apparatus on your face like there's been some invasion of an alien a germ or something. Quick, put the masks on. Do not breathe the air. And I said, oh, my God, I can't sleep like that. How can I sleep with a gas mask on? Did you hear that? So anyway, I remember this. I go to the sleep lab, and it doesn't sound horrible. I mean, it's not a horrible title. If someone says, oh, you're going to a sleep lab. Well, that's not a bad lab to go to because it involves the word sleep is in it, right? And they hook me up, and I get a phone call like the night before I'm supposed to go to the sleep lab from this woman with a very breathy voice.
Hello. How are you? I'm from the sleep lab.
Oh, you sound like you're very comforting. Sounds like a very attractive woman. And I'm a man. And I figured, okay, I'm going to go to a place overnight. It's going to be me and an attractive woman. This is pretty cool. And I do my homework. And apparently this place that you sleep in is not like a doctor's office. It's like a bedroom. And I thought, this is kind of, it's freaky. This is freaky weird. So I go to this thing, and the woman is very attractive. This has nothing to do with anything. I'm saying she's very attractive. And the first thing she says to me is,
welcome to the sleep lab, Ron. Please take your clothes off and put on this little smock.
All I heard was take your clothes off.
And she said, but wait, not now, wait, just hold on, will ya?
She leaves the room, I take my clothes off, I put on this hospital gown kind of thing, and that kind of thing. As a matter of fact, if I'm not correct, and I don't think I am, I think I could wear a t-shirt. It was 10 years ago. I don't even remember what I had for dinner last night, so don't get off my back. I get into bed, and this lovely lady comes to the side of my bed and starts hooking me up. Not with drugs. She starts hooking me up with these little sensors and stuff. They stick onto your body like you're having an EKG. Actually, that's what it was. It was an EKG while you sleep all night. And she hooks me up, and she says,
are you tired?
And I said, no, maybe if I had some sex with you first, inappropriate, but 10 years ago, you could say things like that. I don't think I said it to her. I think that was part of the dream that I had. And we had wild, passionate sex, and it tired me out, and I fell asleep and had the best night's sleep I ever had in a while. I have trouble sleeping, probably because I have sleep apnea. I don't even know. So I wake up in the morning, and she's at my bedside, just like the burglar was. And she says, the
results will be given to your doctor.
I said, well, can't you tell me the results? You're the one that, can you just tell me, do I have a sleeping problem or not? Do I have a sleep disorder?
I can't tell you, Ron. I'm not allowed to tell you. I just do the testing. I don't analyze it.
You know what you're doing. You analyze this stuff. You can tell if I'm snoring or not. Was I snoring?
I can't tell you. Come on, tell me.
I hear nothing about it. So I figured, well, if it was serious, they would have called me. I go to see my doctor a few months later for a regular checkup, and she says to me,
you know, you snore, and I'm taking all your money.
I said, first of all, I kind of thought that I snored. Secondly, every time I book an appointment with you, yeah, you're taking all my money. Because all these testing things, I'm going to test your urine. I'm going to test everything you have. Sick of this testing. But I am mindful of my health. And I want to feel wonderful. Do you have days when, you, like, you're walking down the street or you're walking in a store or something like that, and you actually say to yourself, I do this. I actually say to myself, I'm feeling really good. I feel, my God, I'm walking nicely, and I'm just feeling great. My body feels great. Nothing on me hurts whatsoever. I just feel energized, and I feel great. When I feel like that, I try to duplicate it. It doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, it's fantastic. And that's why I decided to try to stop eating gluten. And I don't know why. I don't know why. So that's the lead-in. So we're going to take a very quick break. I think it's just an identification thing that we're doing here. And then we're going to speak to this person who's going to try to help me out with being healthier without the gluten thing. And I still don't know what I'm talking about.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Dr. Julie Gatzka joins us now. Dr. Julie, and we're talking about health and wellness, of which you are an expert. We're talking about something that I don't even know what I'm talking about. I hear the phrase gluten all the time, and I know it's very common these days to have it removed from things, whether it's a consideration or not. What exactly is a gluten intolerance?
Gluten intolerance, well, gluten itself is an actual protein that shows up in a number of different of grains. Mm-hmm. In particular, wheat, barley, oats. And so people in particular have very serious food sensitivities or allergies, which are called celiac disease. Mm-hmm. They can't have any gluten whatsoever. They get very sick. And then there's a lot of people with gluten sensitivities. That means they eat these grains and they have digestive problems of different kinds. They get chronic inflammation. They can have all sorts of different symptoms because of the gluten in the different foods.
Okay. Why is it, to me, being a lay person, that I never heard about gluten, the word gluten, within maybe 6 years I've heard of it. Beyond that, there was never a discussion of it. There was never any there was not a part of the supermarket that was concerned with this. How did this become all of a sudden so prominent?
Well, 27 years ago, when we were first starting practice, my husband and I found that people were getting better. We're chiropractors. Uh-huh. People were improving, but they weren't staying improved. And so we started to take a look at what was underlying a lot of different things that people came in, possibly not to chiropractors for, but, you know, what was really going on. And we found that there was a lot to do with digestion. And in particular, we found a lot of people with wheat allergies. Uh-huh. So we did research at the library. There was no internet. And we found a whole list of foods that wheat was in. And I think over time, what's occurred is our food has gotten worse, the way we grow it, what we add to it, modifications, uh-huh. and we overconsume certain foods more than we should. Right. And because it is prevalent and a bit of a problem, now the media got a hold of it, and you're right, I wow. didn't hear about gluten. Was not a household word till about 6 or 7
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah.
But we've known about what it's been doing for the last 27.
Now, people like myself feel like, well, I shouldn't be doing gluten at all then. And that is part two of the revolution, mm-hmm. where everybody's diet is now, in their minds, supposed to be going gluten-free. Even in dog food, I have dogs and I check the ingredients, make sure there's no wheat or gluten in it. And I don't know why I'm doing that. There's this persona that this is the healthier way to go for everybody. Is it true?
I actually think it is to some marked degree mm-hmm. true. I think that, if you think about it this way,
yeah.
would your grandparents be proud of what you ate this week?
Hell no, they ate lard.
They didn't eat cereal. They didn't have Pop-Tarts and Hostess.
Well, yes, that's
and,
true.
You know, sandwiches on the fly and then that's weird true. Pot pies for dinner.
True.
And, you know, all the things I just mentioned have grain in them and wheat in particular. Yeah. So we've abused our diets and gotten so quick and fast and easy and convenient
yeah.
that no one's actually eating real food anymore.
Well, true.
So, you know, it yeah. is better to eliminate these grains. And, you know, the best way I could tell somebody to figure it out is eliminate it perfectly for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just take it out and see how you feel.
I've done that, and I feel marvelous. But the problem is that they still make bread. And that's the problem, is that bread thing. And I don't know. And, of course, through our history, people have survived just on bread alone. It's been a staple.
But it was healthy bread. That was not modified in the soil. The grains weren't different. My Italian patients eat bread. And when they come to America, they start to look like, the little muffin tops, and they start to get a little puffy, and they don't look as lean and slender as they did, and it takes about 2 years.
Wow. Right. So bread's okay, but only if there's, like, grains and things? Is that what we're saying? What's the difference between bread and bread?
I mean, I think for real, it has to be, at this point, I just have my patients eliminate it because I can't trust that, you know, their bodies can take even good organic, you know, grown in Italy, you know, flour. But, you know, in general, it's, you could have organic and, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't, you know, sort of compromised somewhere along the way.
Yeah. But people in Italy eat pasta. They're not real fat. I love pasta, but that I'd have to let go of that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and what I usually have my patients do is most of them are coming to me with a problem, something chronic.
Yes.
And they don't believe me either. So when they do eliminate it, they feel so much better. My diabetic sugars come down. The inflammation goes out of the people with arthritis. Their digestive problems change. And, you know, the key behind all of this is having perfect digestion. And even a healthy person, you know, generally cannot digest what they need. And they're lacking the enzymes to actually break down what they're eating in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, to me, there's two parts of life as far as health is concerned. There's young adulthood and there's senior. Young adult, you can get away with everything and you're wearing armor. Then you hit 50 years old and all of a sudden, all the stuff means something all of a sudden. And now you have gas, you have digestive problems, you have arthritis, your blood sugar goes up, your blood pressure. It's like a different world, and now you got to be careful.
Well, it's because you've used up your reserves
as
a kid.
Yes, I know.
And you haven't been replenishing what you should have been replenishing.
Yes.
You know, eating proteins in the morning, having vegetables, having a protein every single meal, and not eating weird food at night because you think you're hungry on the couch because you blew off breakfast.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you a question. What about alcohol? Is that gluten-free?
Some of them are. You know, Tito's vodka happens to be a non-gluten vodka.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Whiskeys and bourbons are usually from, it just depends.
Yeah.
So you actually have to check. Beers sometimes have wheat in it, of course, but not all of them. But, you know, the one thing that I would say is do it just moderately.
Yeah.
If you're not coming to me for a real complaint, but do take a look. If you have any digestive symptom whatsoever, it means what you ate, you didn't break down. You know, one of the things that we do in our practice is we give our patients this beautiful enzyme called Absorbaid.
Yes.
And what it does is when they're eating their foods, it allows them to break down the proteins, the carbohydrates, the fat, so that they get more bang for their buck for eating.
Now, is that something you have before you eat or after you eat, or how does that work?
You can take it right before, during, right after. You know, it should be taken with the meal, just because it aids in breaking it down and increases the absorption by so much. And it's such a simple thing that your medical doctors are never going to bring up. But if you absorb it, you will actually utilize it.
Yeah. But that doesn't give you a free ticket to eat crazy again, though.
No, but I can tell you on, you know, let's say a Thanksgiving,
we have a
bowl of Absorbid sitting out so everyone can eat gluttonous. And we've taken, you know, the whole family has taken Absorbid throughout the day so that we're not laying on the couch, you know, out of communication.
Where do you get this Absorbid?
You can get it from a company called Nature's Sources. NatureSources.com is the website. Uh-huh. And you could also call the 1-800 number, which is 1-800-827-7656. And if you use the code radio, you get 20% off your first order, or you can get some free samples.
Very cool. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, you know, because I don't think I know anybody that doesn't have this problem, especially at that particular age stage of life. I think everybody I know, if we just start to talk about it, they'll say, yeah, I have that, varying degrees of it, but yet a concern.
Right. And Ron, it's very, very common, but it is not normal. If you can't break something down, indigestion and GERDs and acid reflux and, you know, gas and bloating, all that simply means is you're asking for trouble because you are not getting in nutrition to help heal the body. And the whole game is to absorb your food.
You know, as you were saying those things, I was raising my hand, and I ran out of hands. I need more hands.
Right.
All right. Well, I guess it's like
give it a 2-week trial. Yeah. Eliminate all the wheat and all the dairy is another good one to take out, and then once a week have a big cheat day.
Yeah.
And then knowingly do it so that then you can give the body a chance to sort of heal up again, and then have another cheat day next week. And, you know, when you do that, it's a bit more sane, and you'll see that you actually, you know, really have a little bit better handle on your health.
Yeah. I speak to a lot of doctors. I do an interview, a number of interviews every day. I speak to doctors all the time. And the one overriding message that I get is you don't have to live the way you live if you don't like it. You can you can change everything with a lifestyle adjustment. And I've learned that, and it's, I think people feel kind of stupid, because a lot of things are very easily corrected if you just make those lifestyle corrections.
I mean, I've said for years, it's not that complicated to treat a body,
yeah.
But you know, it is made complicated when you go, you know, the traditional route and they're giving you some drug for, you know, the bloating and then another drug for your acid reflux and then something else to handle that. And yes, that becomes complicated. But I find when it's complicated, there's usually a lie in there.
Yeah.
And that goes with trying to get the truth from a kid. It starts to get complicated. You better start looking. And, you know, in our practice, it's just so darn simple. It's actually a joke.
Yeah.
And I have patients that improve so dramatically. And, you know, the best disease I've seen change is the diabetes. You get these people off the certain foods, their sugars come down. There's no lying about that.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like cigarette smoking. And I'll tell you why I equate the two is because there's been a marketing campaign through our lives to smoke cigarettes. Of course, that's changed recently, but we're marketed things that harm us, and we're marketed pizzas from all over the place and ice creams and things that appeal to us, almost like we're being forced to do things that aren't good for us.
Who's making the money on all that?
That's the
point. And I'm not talking the pizza places. I'm talking who is the biggest money-making lobbyists in our country, and it's pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceuticals, yes, absolutely.
So, you know, if you keep them sick, it's a disease management system. It's not a fix.
You're absolutely right. Wow, and that's why insurance costs and everything go up when, as you say, it's almost ridiculous why that even is.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay, this has been fascinating. Give me those websites again where we can get some information and help.
Sure, it's naturessources.com. And the 1-800 number is 1-800-827-7656. And use the code radio and you get 20% off your first order or samples. And it's called Absorbaid. And I've used it for years and years. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different enzyme companies in America. And there's very few who do it the right way. It's like, you know, It's just the quality. You get what you pay for on this one. Don't just throw something in and expect improvement.
So it's Absorade, Change Your Lifestyle, and Tito's.
There you go,
the last part, I just threw in that myself. It's not what you said. It's what I said. Okay.
That's funny.
Thank you so much for your time. This has been great, and we appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Dr. Julie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. There you go. When I do interviews, frequently, if I'm doing an interview with an author, I will get a copy of the book sent to me. If there's a product involved, and there usually isn't, but when there is, they'll send me a sample of that or a free bottle or something like that. When I speak to automobile expo people, they'll give me a free car. Things, oh, I wish. Oh, I wish. So I got a free bottle of this stuff, and you're supposed to take it before a meal. It's a chewable tablet. It doesn't taste horrible. It's like Beano. You know this Beano stuff? So you're supposed to eat it before you're going to have an engaging meal, a meal that you know is not going to be wonderful for you. And it kind of works, yeah, you know, whatever. You know, taking little pills for things, nice, fine, good times, what the hell. But I have learned in my lifetime, my short little lifetime, that eating properly really so much makes a difference. It's like 90% what you put into your body, food-wise, maybe 10% exercise. I think that's still debatable. I think you should move around. I don't think you should sit on your ass all day. I think you should move. As far as going to a gym and exercising, for me, the jury's still out on that. Maybe on another planet. Maybe Planet Fitness or something. But not in my world, I'm not into moving around. I do it because I have to get from place to place, and I think that's enough for me. But 90% of it is the food that I put in my body. And it's so hard to discipline yourself to do that. So I'm at the end of my first week, as I said at the top of the show. I do feel better. Not that I was feeling bad before, but I do. It's a difference. And you can't do it for one or two days. You have to do it for an expanse of time, 1 week, 2 weeks, something like that, and then make a judgment for yourself. Wow, if I'm really conscious about what I'm eating, do I feel better? Try it out. And then step on the scale when at the beginning and at the end and see if you lost weight as well. And then take a look at yourself in the mirror and look at your stomach. And is it flatter? Sometimes it's not so much what happens on the scale. It's how you actually look. I mean, you know, I can go to the gym and work out and I can put on pounds. That's not my goal. I want to lose weight. I want to gain weight. But when you go to the gym, you gain muscle mass. So that's why this gym thing is, I don't know. So it's not necessarily how much you weigh. It's like, whoa, how do I look? How do I look? How do I look to myself? How do I look to other people? Yeah, that's important. Yeah, that's a self-image thing and it feeds into it. But how do I look to myself? That's what makes you happy or not happy. That's what makes you happy or not happy. How do I look to myself? That's what it's about. Just knock something over. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. This has been so much fun. I can't tell you. I can't tell you because I'm not sure how much fun it really was. I'll be back again tomorrow with another program. Until then, I do wish you peace. You be careful now. You take care of yourself, okay? All right?
All right. You take care of yourself, all right?